We've got to get there soon, Marty.
It's very close.
She had no facts to back up her assertion.
I'm glad you're so certain. I might have given up hope by now.
His words were punctuated by the steady splashing of his paddle. Madi didn't respond. She wondered if her memory had failed her or if she'd simply miscalculated the distance of the shrine from the Scorpio Prime's temple. The river took another bend, and a slightly fresher breeze cooled her sweat-filmed cheeks. She could see nothing ahead but more river and more jungle, with steaming fog beginning to collect between the trunks of trees. Their canoe rounded a small overgrown promontory, startling a deer that had come to the river's edge to drink. It leaped through the brush, and Madi's eyes followed its panic-stricken flight automatically. Then she saw the small stack of water-smoothed stones between the high grasses. Ramja saw the makeshift marker at the same time Madi did. They frantically drove the wooden dugout to the bank. Before the hull had fully grounded against the hard-packed mud, the two people leaped overboard into the shallows and waded ashore. Madi staggered as a brief spasm of vertigo assailed her, but she kept her footing. Then she and Ramja ran, not thinking about where they were going, only that they had to put as much distance between themselves and the river as soon as possible. They slapped aside thickly fronded plants, ducked beneath dangling, flowering lianas, and crashed through thickets, heedless of the thorns. They ran stumbling through the bog, the ground little more than a soupy marsh, and at every step their bare feet sank ankle-deep into the muck. They waded through stagnant pools and climbed over rotten logs. Twice they circled broad puddles from which bubbles of sulfurous swamp gas rose and burst, releasing a nauseating stench. After a few minutes of running, they heard a distant, ululating cry from their pursuers. Apparently, their dugout had been discovered. The human cry was answered almost immediately by a non-human one, the harsh, coughing growl of a great tiger. Madi and Ramja knew tigers didn't roar, and the beast's terrifying snarl sounded angry. Madi and Ramja continued to sprint through the moist, heat-sodden forest. When the terrain became less swampy, they stumbled to a halt and rested in the low fork of a tree.
How far?
Madi looked around the darkening jungle and felt the fingers of despair clutch at her heart. She saw nothing familiar, and the triumphant cries of the Scorpio Prime's soldiers when they found their trail nearly made her burst into tears. She had convinced Ramja to join her in the escape attempt by telling him the Shiva Shrine would be a storage vessel for food that they could take with them in their journey to escape Assam. If she couldn't find the shrine, then Ramja, the boy she had grown up with, the boy who had professed his love for her, would die, and she would be responsible. Of course, according to the Naroda philosophy that had lately taken root in her country, since life was ultimately meaningless, death was equally insignificant. But she did not, she could not, subscribe to those beliefs, nor to the assertion that the Scorpio Prime was an Apsara, one of the alluring wives of Vishnu. Madi knew the ancient legends about Apsaras winging down to Earth and taking mortal men as consorts, but goddesses didn't need men with guns to round up followers or slaves. The Scorpio Prime had drawn the majority of her soldiers from the Naga tribes people of northeastern Assam. They were serpent worshippers, and though they enthusiastically participated in the tantric sex rites, she knew they didn't necessarily believe in the Naroda. But with an age-old tradition of headhunting to draw upon, the Nagas made excellent warriors and trackers.
Are we lost, Madi?
She turned toward him, blinking back tears of shame.
I'm sorry. I know how hungry you are.
It's just as well. You wouldn't want me getting fat and lazy.
From behind Ramja came a stealthy rustle of foliage. Madi stiffened, and when Ramja saw her fearful reaction, he swallowed hard and slowly turned. The brush rustled again, and then out marched a huge yellow and black Bengal tiger. The huge cat was a male, the most enormous tiger either one of them had ever seen. It was massively muscled, measuring nearly 15 feet from its bewhiskered snout to the tip of its striped tail. It looked as if it weighed in the vicinity of 500 pounds. The tiger made no move toward them, but regarded them both inscrutably with tawny yellow-green eyes. Its gaze was piercing, almost hypnotic.
Don't move.
Don't worry.
The tiger opened its huge, wet, red maw. Its long yellow fangs glistened as it uttered a frightening combination of growl and protracted cough. It dug the great curving claws of its forepaws into the ground, inscribing deep, parallel channels in the soil. The cries of the Scorpio Prime soldiers suddenly cut through the deepening dusk. They sounded very close. The tiger swung its head toward the sounds with a snorting growl. It gazed at Mahdi and Ramja steadily for a few seconds, then slowly, majestically, turned its blunt-eared head in the direction it had come. The movement seemed very significant. Then, muscles rippling, the tiger gathered itself and bounded forward, leaping over them and disappearing into the vegetation. Ramja's forehead ran with rivulets of sweat that plastered his hair tight to his scalp.
He meant us no harm.
No, he was sent to help us, a servant of Shiva, to show us the way to his shrine. It's true. Tigers are not mindless killers, but human in their own way, without the lust and greed of man.
Ramja and Mahdi exchanged swift, fear-filled glances. Then they began running again,